Well, you don't learn the knack of how to do it, you're going to live to die. Let's ask Brother Jesus, is it a bad thing he did to leave no bodies so they can examine in the coffin? Why did he take off? And why is he promising you that same opportunity if that's a bad thing? No, I'm talking of the genuine fact.
You see,
I met Brother Jesus too after the fact. Touched the body to be certain. And then he says, well, where you are? But I ain't breathing for you. I'm your brother. Plain and simple. Don't make out more than what it is. The Father is in you. Breathe. And then when I had to realize that statement, that was the first time I understood scientifically what he's talking about. That he ain't talking of no imagination. He's talking of the atomic science that is set up in the cellular structure of the human form to transcend death, the last enemy. So if you breathe, oh, now you know the real truth of the prayer unceasingly is breathing unceasingly. Not words now, it's the respiration is what they've been talking, but they didn't know how to put it in proper terminology. If you breathe unceasingly, you're wrong eternally. Because that's the highest prayer there is. There's no other prayer greater than that. You can't talk before you breathe. Think of that one first. So which one's going to be unceasingly? The breath or the talk? You see, you're very enlightened, but you don't recognize it. Give yourself a little time. Curiosity killed the cat, but curiosity brought it back. And so it's satisfied that it know how to do what to be curious. So I'm glad that you're curious enough to be satisfied.
Well, I'm bound and determined to get something of value, whatever I do. There's always some little gift.
I can answer that there's something of value to get.
No, because that's my value, not yours. What I perceive as being valuable is not you. You may not agree. What's valuable?
I can only say life is a process, not a goal. And until we are ready to accept it's a process, we will be deluded by trying to get to a goal.
So the bound and determined is having a goal. You're, like I said, I was bound and determined to get something about it. So were you supposed to be just hanging out there and not have any expectations?
A process doesn't have a goal. A process is always now. And therefore it's eternal already. A goal is limited and can end when you arrive, only to find out you fooled yourself.
So
there are no goals. Creative intelligence doesn't intend to go out of business. Creative intelligence intends to stay in business until midnight eternity.
But I thought the goal was the dream. Is that not the goal?
No. Goal to is not a breeding. Breeding is an opportunity. That's right. It's an opportunity because it's given to you to experience. See, when they cut the cord, that's how we know for sure, without doubt, that the environment gives you the opportunity to breathe.
And why is the environment giving out opportunities? What's the...
That is to make you stand on your own 2 feet.
Why did he not do that to begin with?
No,
why?
Because you're looking to be a codependent instead of independent.
Looking to be a codependent, all of us, instead of independent.
That's right. And you can't be a codependent in a principle of process. You have to be independent in the principle of process. A codependent would be a goal. Imperfection and perfection together makes connection.
You mean it's part and parcel of the whole?
That's right.
The circle.
The whole thing is a combination of imperfection and perfection. Imperfection is referred to by the scientists as chaos.
Imperfection is chaos, right?
And perfection is referred to as geometrical combination. Together we have a universe, a connection, and we are a miniature model of it.
See, I thought that imperfection was the illusion and perfection was the real.
No.
And that's all there was perfection.
No.
Now you're saying there are dualities. You believe in duality.
No.
No.
In perfection. It's already inside of perfection.
Do you believe that this was conceived by a divine intelligence? Do you believe that?
No.
No? Do you believe that by chance?
No.
What?
It became me.
Pardon?
It became me.
It became you.
Yeah.
And it became me.
Good. Then you know you don't have belief in you. When something becomes you, what can you believe in? You have the first opportunity to transcend limitation and to be in a state of perpetual ongoingness, because it became you. But not until that happens, you could never transcend and enter ongoingness. So it takes that particular principle of becoming you to give you the opportunity to experience ongoingness. Scientists will say the same thing. Energy is equal to the mass times the velocity of light squared. It can't be created and can't be destroyed, but it'll always keep moving. It can't stay stagnant.
Well, see, I thought that was what mind was. Constant.
Mind is only a state of acceleration of matter. So we don't have a mind, we have an accelerated state of matter. And different states of acceleration allows us to work with different capabilities. But at the core of it is still an atom. Matter is still an atom at the core.
I think there's something that transcends the atom. I think that what you're thinking when I say mind is this mind, this crane, this matter, this man, this grayish man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about consciousness, which is over that, above that, transcends that. I think we're saying some of the same thing, but we're using different words. It's very difficult sometimes to grasp where you're going.
See, matter is moving atoms, timelessly transforming emission recurrence. That's matter. And mind is memory internally navigating desire. Now you tell me.
You don't think it's possible to have.
Mind is memory internally navigating desire. And matter is moving atoms, timelessly transforming emission recurrence.
And it can't do a thing without humming. If you took a gun and blew the person's brain out of here, there would be no movement.
But how would you have it if it's not a memory process?
But see, that's what I'm trying to differentiate. I'm just trying to differentiate between the physical, if you shot this down, and the mind part. I'm saying that the mind is not in.
Before you can pick up the gun, how you know it's a gun to shoot yourself? No, you see, you have to identify a condition to act from a memory that internally navigates your desire to perform an action. So you don't have a mind. You can't even take it out to show it to nobody. Intelligence is something that is told to you, that is stored inside of you. That when you're ready to use it, you call it your memory. But when you're not ready to use it, you'll call it what?
Well, what do you perceive deity to be? What does that mean to you? What is your picture of Christ what's your conception of God? Do you believe in a God?
I don't believe in a God. God became me. You understand the statement? I don't believe in a God. That's impossible. And impractical.
Do you believe there was a beginning to all of this?
How can energy have a beginning? It's not created nor destroyed, so where's the beginning of energy?
Well, then you could say then energy is God.
Who said it was not?
I just asked you. I asked you, what do you perceive God to be? You did not say energy. You said it was me.
It became me. I cannot exist outside of energy.
So, all right, then you are saying that energy is God. Deity.
Not deity.
All right, what's the difference?
Is somebody you expect to sit on a throne?
Maybe you do, but I didn't say that.
What's a deity to you now?
Huh?
What's a deity to you?
To me, what deity is? To me, deity is the energy that we are talking about with this. The deity is intelligence. And I always thought it was perfection. And I'm listening.
But as long as you say you're accepting a deity, you're keeping yourself away from it. You're not including yourself in it.
Why do you say that?
Because then you have to bow down and worship it.
Do you think that understanding is bowing down and worshiping?
No, when it becomes you, you no longer have something to look forward to.
I didn't say that it wasn't me.
How is it not?
You said that maybe I don't know that. I'm not saying that. You didn't ask me.
You're telling me you have a deity to look towards. You didn't tell me the deity became you. When do you want to tell me the deity became you? I said it became me. You're telling me you're looking towards it?
Well, I thought you understood.
Energy is, you still got to tell me it became you. Until you tell me it became you, I have no argument to speak. But as long as you say it didn't become you, you're still telling me something away from you.
Well, that's the image of likeness, right?
No.
It isn't? No. What is it?
When it becomes you, you don't have any image and likeness.
No, it does.
It became you. As long as you haven't accepted become you, you will have an image and likeness to look forward to. Now is time. Pick it apart and show me where image is in it.
Is it semantic?
Not semantic. It's a fact of your being that it became you to allow you to talk to yourself. And if it doesn't allow you to talk to yourself, your body wouldn't even be a body. It'll go back into the frequency. It became you. Very difficult to live with. You answer your own question, my dear friend. The who and the why perpetuated the illusion over the what? I don't know.
what you said, what I understand is it became me.
That's the what became you. To allow you to experience a who.
Right.
And what you are is not who you are.
Okay.
But you're constantly...
But who I am comes by comparisons I make to my environment. Okay.
But what you are doesn't have any comparison.
And that's the truth. What I am is not.
Yes.
Who I am is irrelevant to
that's
what
right.
I am. What I guess I'm asking you, who perpetrated this grand illusion?
You're using the same thing. You're who? you're using it, man. You're just saying it already. The who in you is doing it to you.
Okay, I see what you're saying. What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of the illusion if the other is so true and so simple? What good does it do us? And if it's so bad, why do we have it? The illusion. anything that would make us believe.
Your own scientists in the Western world call it relativity. That was his terminology. The Eastern man call it illusion or Maya. And between the two of them, they're all saying the same thing. That what is here. But there's no way to explain what unless they use relativity or illusion to talk to themselves.
Okay. So you need reference points.
That is why the banana has a skin. But nobody eats the skin.
But then nobody's seen the skin, there is a banana.
Good. Then you have a front and a back. But you can't show me the scene. Except what doctor says between your legs.
Is that a coat without scene that they refer to?
That's why they made us that way, to live the illusion of talking back to what we are via the who and the hues of the who. We have a right brain and a left brain to give us enough conversation to entertain ourselves without moving our mouth. So you have two ears to listen to the conversation, two nostrils to breathe in and out, and a tongue between two sets of teeth to talk.
We have two ears because we should listen, and one ear to talk.
But that is because what we are is very difficult to explain, and who doesn't know how to be satisfied. So who is called individuality, like a bubble in water. But the bubble in the water is only hot air. Till you pop it, it don't have no water in it. Individuality is a who in us. We don't have a dog or anything in our individuality. Because every night we fall asleep and it automatically proves to us that we're nothing when we're sound asleep. But what we are will always be here and will provide every illusion or relativity to entertain itself.
So is that what you're saying?
It's called creation or creation. You know, create ion. That is what a cultivated act of the ions providing entertainment to itself via individuality.
Do you believe in karma?
I don't believe.
Well, do you accept, do you understand that it is feasible to you?
The law of life is there's no something for nothing. So karma is only a fancy name for what? Atonement? For what? There's no something for nothing in this universe. It's something for something. You find me something for nothing in this universe and I'll join you.
So it's pain.
Oh, well let me show you how it goes. P-A-I-N. That's inside of your father. And then he throws you out and that's a P-A-I-N. And then your mother and daddy decides to throw you out at 18 years of age, and that's a P-A-Y-M-E-N-T. So you're paying the pain all the time. There ain't no way you're going to get rid of it, and you're stuck in it as long as you breathe. There's no something for nothing. It's something for something. Simply because you can't make a universe with one. It can only exist with two. Everything you look around, even you and I, are put together, not with two ovums or two sperms, or one ovum and no sperm.
That's when we get the idea
about the codependency. No, that's not codependency. That is independency.
But you said everything is
different. That's right. Polarity. A stick has two ends and they can't get rid of it. But the stick is a circle cut open. So that tells us right away we can't go away from what we are. We can only converse about who we are and accept what we are as the end result of living in the now. You see, the who wants purpose when the what is all the purpose there is. The what gave you purpose.
Why are we given the acknowledgement of who if it's got no purpose?
Because you breathe. You're forced to cater to the who.
So it is a value.
And if you don't breathe, you can't cater to it. Difficult to experience catering without breathing. And as long as you breathe, you're in a situation where you have to cater to who you are.
And that's supposed to be an enviable position to be in?
Oh, yes.
Oh?
I'll tell you why. It's the only thing that cannot be revoked once it was released. When what became you, it gave you the greatest choice you'll ever have by allowing you to breathe, to experience individuality, and it cannot be taken back. You must live the process with your individuality in the ongoingness of yourself. It cannot be revoked. It cannot be denied. It provides you the permanent opportunity to be you. That's why it can't take it back. When it decided to become a creation or a geometry, it had to decide to provide the opportunity for individuality. But it also provides the opportunity for guarantee. That's greater than who you are. Greater than your individuality is the guarantee, the warranty behind the whole program. If you understand what you have, you're permanent. That's what they refer to as, to him that overcometh, I will send forth a second time. That's what they call life everlasting for people who want to look at it that way. But that warranty or guarantee is already inside of you if you understand it. If you don't understand it, then you go through the charades again, play the game, spin the ball. But you're entitled to go over and over. Can't stop. Can't go back.
So when you have attained this understanding, then you no longer have to come back because you don't have to leave.
But you ain't going no place. You ain't coming back to no place because you're already what? Here in the now, totally omnipresent, totally omnipotent, totally omniscient, but you dare not boast about it. If you do, then your own who will crumble. But if you don't boast about it, your who will be an inspiration to other who's. So you automatically assume the role of a cosmic babysitter. You may not like it, but you're stuck in it. So Eastern teachers call that masters. They aren't your master. They are masters of themselves. No, they have mastered themselves and no longer depend upon who to take care of their existence and function strictly from what they are. And there is no place in this universe they can't be, and there is no fear of not providing for what they are because they're instantly sustained by what they are. They don't stop breathing. They are enjoying breath to the utmost.
While they're breathing, but they too stop breathing. I don't know of anyone that's going on.
Oh, yes.
Who?
planet Earth is fortunate to see a few of them.
Is this documented?
Yes.
So how long have they been here already?
Since Jesus came on the planet. That's for the Western world. The Eastern world, since Buddha came on the planet, since Zoroaster came on the planet, since Kabir came on the planet, these men have all been long before the Christian world ever knew they existed.
You mean they can recall their past lives?
They don't have a past nor a future, they live now. They can let you see them if they want, but they'll do two things for you. They'll let you touch them to be certain that you're not imagining, like you did to Thomas, you know. And then they'll eat food, and they'll make sure you cook it for them. And then they'll tell you when they leave, don't put the rest back in the refrigerator, and I'll be back 5 years to see it. And they'll come back 5 years to check it, and it ain't gonna rot. Everything around there in your house will rot, except that one that they touch. That's to give you enough evidence that they know what they're doing. But they're not going to boast about it, but it'll satisfy your curiosity to accept what you are if you're ready to accept it.
And where are they?
Right next to you if you have the eyes to see them. That's the funny joke about it. Those that have eyes to see, let them see, and ears to hear, let them hear. They can do many things. They can allow you to see them, touch them, and all of a sudden you can't even see them nor even photograph them. But they ain't dead. That's the funny joke about it. They're breathing like you and I, and they're eating like you and I. And if you're in doubt, they know how to empty their bowels faster than you can go to the bathroom. They'll satisfy every condition you ask them to do to make sure that you aren't fooling yourself. I know it's very hard to.
First moment.
Is there one here now? Do you see one here now?
Yeah, there are more than one in the room.
Where are they?
Standing right at the door.
They're at the door?
Yeah. It's called communion with the saint.
With the saint?
Not with a psychic or medium. I accept the communication with the saint. I don't accept a communication with a psychic or a medium. They are not genuine. But they exist. The genuine saints don't need to talk through no human being. But if you are interested in knowing what you are, they'll find out if you're lying to yourself pretty fast. Because your love is the credibility of your ability to make them materialize themselves. Through your love, they materialize themselves for you to see them. And some people ask me many times when I come to this area if I will perform a certain act for them. And I tell them, if certain things occur in the atmosphere, I'll do it. If not, try next time. That's to make sure their love is genuine and not false.
Yeah, but that's putting genuine on them.
No, that's the whole thing. If you see, you can't get something for nothing. You want to see them without paying the price. And if you pay the price, they will satisfy your need. The price is love. Do you really love? Or you think you love? If you really love, they materialize themselves. If you believe you can think to love, they won't, because you know you're a phony. That's how they know the difference between genuine saints and psychic phenomena. And we know genuine people who have love of the heart and not from the brain. Because Jesus said, the pure in heart see God, not the pure in the brain see God. So you either love from the heart to make the saint who has achieved mastery over himself to become visible to satisfy your love, and not love from the brain to believe that you can get it to show up. See, I've been down the road and I had to pay the price too.
What's
the price?
Debt.
Very cheap. Don't recommend it too much though. See, years ago I wanted to know where I can buy 100 books on God. So I wrote a wonderful teacher who was living at the time. And he gave me a letter and said, what is all the knowledge in all the books in comparison to 50 minutes silence in the soul? But I didn't read the letter good. I thought 50 minutes silence in the soul, he meant 15 minutes silence in the soil. That's the real soul. Man is living soil. Man doesn't have soul. But you see, when you don't understand it, then you make a goof. So I fell off a building years after. No, I fell. I don't want to put the blame on them that they pushed me off. If I put the blame on them and push them off, that would not be fair to them. And I didn't jump off because I wanted to find out. I was helping a friend install a TV for his mother, and he was a lawyer. And I was fixing it on the house on the antenna. And the cable gave way, my back hit the veranda, and the balcony railing broke, and I went flying down 30 feet. Well, you know, the speed of acceleration is 32 feet per second per second. I was weighing 180 pounds at that time, and I'm traveling 30 feet. You know how fast I'm going? Pretty fast, huh? But I hit the ground, and every bone broken twice. Couldn't move. But at the same time, I saw myself looking at myself in everything. And for a long time, I thought I would find God or devil, but none of them show up. But then the saints began to show up. Even the teacher that I wrote to was in that state, and he was looking. And all of them were laughing. And none of them would help me, because I didn't understand what they were saying. And until I understood what they were saying, then I could correct my problem. So when I understood what they were saying, 50 minutes silence in the soil, and not the soul, and that they wouldn't breathe for me, I had to breathe for myself. In my broken body, I was forced to breathe. I was in and out of my body many times. That's not a problem, because in and out is only oxygen. The body is broken up lying down there. In and out is the air coming in and going out. It can't do nothing. It won't stay in the body. But it never got unconscious, because oxygen doesn't get unconscious. And you call it spirit. It's a nice fancy word for hot air. And so I was forced to make this chemical body, made of skin, breathe, again on time, just as much as it cut the cord to let me breathe on time. I had to relive the actual experience of breathing on time. Then I was taken to the hospital. By that time, the ambulance came to carry me to the hospital. But I was dead on the operating table for 3 days. Then the third day, I woke up again. By that time, I was hung up like a barbecue on a spit with all kind of devices hooked to me, pumping all kinds of stuff. And the doctors were saying, well, if you don't die now, you ain't gonna die. That's 3 days, because I found out the person standing in the room was my lawyer. And I said, isn't today Thursday? Because this thing happened Wednesday night. And I thought it was Thursday morning. That goes to show you how you lose track of time. And he says, no, this is Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock. So I was out for a long time. But inside of my brain, during that long time, I was looking at a clock that was saying, 7 o'clock, wake up, Adam, 7 o'clock, wake up, Adam, 7 o'clock, wake up, Adam. And when I think I did wake up at 7 o'clock, it turned out to be 3 o'clock Saturday, instead of 7 o'clock Thursday morning. Mental illusions are powerful. But the fact is that you don't give up with your illusions, you may make it back to reality. So I forced myself to breathe to stay awake again. Then my friend says, well, today is Saturday. So I looked at him and I said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to go back to sleep. So I went back into unconsciousness. Next morning, wide awake. But then began the journey. It's called pain. There is no gain without the pain. But I don't ask people to go that road. Some people call it death experience. We all have a memory of a sperm bonding with an ovum, which is constantly triggering a craving or a desire to relive it in order to be free to operate in the atomic frequencies permanently. That's the implant of God's purpose in creation. But until you know that, you don't know what the heck you're living for. You'll go wrong in a million or a trillion different reasons for the purpose, and call it the purpose of existing. The only purpose you're here for, that's why it said, to him that overcometh, I will not send forth a second time. The memory of the sperm bonding with the ovum, converting from an atom into a tissue. You have to relive that memory. You have to see that you are not tissue, but you are atoms. You can't imagine this, you have to live it. Now, if you live it, there's a test, and we know if you pass the test, no matter where you are, we know. Because that's how we can tell if a person is a master or not. And that's how he gets the title. The word is called Swami. not somebody giving it to you by some educational program. It is one who has mastered the test.
And what is the test again?
Reliving the journey of the sperm to the ovum into the atomic reaction of how it's put together. And if you experience it, you can stay in your own home, millions of miles away, or on another person who is in that state will find you. Because you can't escape no more. They will let you know your work has just begun. And you're called by the higher consciousness to work for the first time. So they say many are called but few are frozen or chosen. And so you have to pass the test before you can use you to work in that level. So swamis are not people who are given some title like a priest or a certificate. You either have to live the experience inside and prove so that another person who is in that level can.
So who's to say who has lived,
actually lived
the experience and who
saved
it?
I
mean, really, who's the authority here?
Another swami. I fell off the building. I didn't tell a single soul. The University of Southern Baptist University in Texas at Fort Worth, I was standing in the back room, over 300 people, in a corner with my ex-wife. I saw the man, he was a short little fellow, and he looked like an Indian Jew rabbi. So you can imagine how he dressed. He got a little topi hat like a rabbi, and his long robe, and he's walking. And he's in front of him are two tall Sikh guys, you know, the Sikh with the turban and like bodyguards, and they're alongside. And he stopped at the door, he looked all around the room, then he looked towards me. I'm the back of the wall, over 300 people. And he starts walking towards me. And he comes right up, and he's about that far from me, and he looked at me and says, "I'm going to make you a swami right now, officially." My wife said, "What the hell that makes me? A nothing?" He says, "No, I'll make you a swamini." But he has to decide on a name. So while I'm deciding in my head, he says, "I think I'll call you Adiyananda." That's what he says you're going to call me. But he says, "No, I can't call you that because only God can be called that. The principle of life is Adi first. Adi means first. The first bliss. I'll call you Nityananda." I said, "I like that. I'm nitty gritty hard, every sort of a gun." And he laughed. By that time, my ex-wife said, "Well, what the hell are you going to call me now?" So he gave her a name. But then he said, "You're fortunate that the two of you had the same experience," because otherwise I would not have done it. And then he went on to lecture the experience of seeing, reliving the spermal journey. She was a very evolved person too. That night after the lecture we were visiting with him, and then he's telling us his own personal experience, how he managed to get his own swamihood given to him. He was a young boy, 14 years of age, and he met his teacher who initiated him into meditational techniques. And during his entire life, he fought against the British and joined Mahatma Gandhi to try to push the British out. He went to jail and they did all kinds of beating on him. And then when he was out and released, the British had decided, he operated his own newspaper company, and at the age of 65, he decided to retire. and he wanted to go and see his teacher. Well, picture this. He's a 14-year-old boy. His teacher was 45 at the time. Now he's 65 years of age. How old would his teacher be?
90.
He enters the cave where the teacher was staying or living, and this is what he said to the teacher. I said to him, sir, he looked at me, he says, yes. Was the teacher sitting on a chair? He says, no. What did you expect? I'm like, how would you know he's in the cave? And he says, he's floating in the room. Just blank statement like that, well, I ain't gonna ask any further, because why? I'd appear very stupid in his presence. So he said, I looked at my teacher, he said, and I said, sir, I've been very faithful in my meditation for the years. All my brother associates have had wonderful internal experiences, but I have never had anything, and only out of love for you, I keep doing the meditation. He said, you know what my teacher said? Get the hell out of here, don't you ever come back and bother me. Well, you never expect such a statement from a teacher. And he went out of the cave and he sat down with tears in his eyes, a man 60-some-odd years of age, being told that. And the moment he closed his eyes, just out of love for his teacher again, his whole head went into this big explosion where he saw himself as a sperm running up to the ovum to be gobbled up and exploding into a 4th of July. He says, well, I thought that was all there was to it. He said, but the joke is this. With my eyes open or with my eyes shut, the entire world is 4th of July. He said, but that's not so bad. It's easy to live with it if you sit down, but I got to get up and walk with it. And he says, then you know why I made you a Swami, because that's what the Swami order is. 4th of July, walking around with it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can't do it down, but look at it. So you realize God became you in the practice. Now this is what Jesus is saying. When the eyes are single, these two eyes are single, centered inside, this whole body is full of light, atoms. And the light is shining in the darkness, means the atoms are in the tissue mechanism glowing, like 4th of July. But the tissue don't understand it, the darkness doesn't comprehend it. But let your light so shine before me, and that means if you can stick it out and flow, then they will glorify the God in themselves, not in you. They first got to find the God for themselves inside themselves.
And what was he talking about when he said that man, the days are numbered?
Yes.
I thought they were talking about materialness, sitting bones, and he goes down and
around. Your days are numbered, man. Sperm, you got an ovum waiting for you. And the day your number comes up, you got to go down the uterine canal to make connection. It's called the harmonic connection. Some people call it the hormone connection. So you go down the uterine canal to meet your number. The ovum determines that number. And the sperm, millions of them are in you, daddy. When it's released, only the one that is supposed to body, there, that one comes up for the opportunity to have a form to start the journey of realizing God became it by establishing the internal memory of the sperm bonding with the ovum in order to relive the experience and claim your internal right So when you say your days are numbered, your time will always come around for you to live the memory, to claim your right.
And when they said you came from dust to dust, you shall return, what did it
mean? You came from 144 elements, and you're organized by sonics called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, you know, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwells in man. Out of that combinational process, you the atom, you the element, you the mineral, is held together by the geometry of the song leaf. And your own mouth will separate it or keep it together. So if you know how to use your mouth, you will keep your atomic structure together. And if you don't know how to use it, you pay the consequences of going back in the dirt to start all over again. So Jesus put it this way, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So your own mouth is your best enemy, worst friend, and your best friend and worst enemy. You see, if you call me a son of a bitch, I may not be hurt. You will be hurt by swallowing your saliva, and the enzymes will give you ulcers in your own colon. And you don't know how the hell you got an ulcer. That's the science behind it. It's not what you think. It's what you swallow that will break you down. Yes, even if you think it, you still got to swallow it, though. And if you spit it out, and if you spit it out, it won't hurt you. And I can eat deadly things, it won't hurt you. Because I know when.
You know what?
When. That's the big difference that most people talk of eating deadly things and don't know when. They bury them. But when you know when to eat it, they don't bury you. You see, the ancient people wrote a lot of things in their writings, but never gave all the facts. And we are so stupid enough to go follow it and end up dead. You can eat any poison if you know when. But when you don't know when, they'll bury you with your mistakes.
What
is the time? Everything has a time. You know, Solomon? That's the guy who says there's a time and a place and a season for everything. That includes death, birth, poison, love, fear, murder, everything. There's a time. No time. Within the 24 hours of the clock, everything has a moment when it can be used and when it cannot be used. Nature put it there for you to model your way through it. And then you muddle your way through it, and you make your mistakes, then you know when to do it correctly next time. But not until you muddle your way through it, nobody's going to tell it to you. Thank you, and I'm glad you came.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
night. There's a time to sleep, and there's a time to eat. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to preach. You see that we don't know, and what we do know are two different things. Many men live and sleep while they are awake. Many men live and sleep but never awake. If you can live and sleep while you're awake, you got it made. Good. Not impossible. Has been done already. I know it's difficult for most people to accept what they are because it's too simple and mundane. We all want something glorious, nebulous, and magical to satisfy our reason for dying stupidly. Who dies gloriously? Good. But everybody dies stupid, right? So you have to find some place to go to. You know, when I fell off the building, I said to Brother Jesus and Joseph, I want to go to heaven to see what it looks like. They said, fine, be my guest. And there the light opened. The pearly gates of heaven were there. Beautiful. I walk all around it, looking at the pearls, big size, all colors, all embedded in the gate. The music was coming out. You ever hear music through the sound of a pearl? And I pushed the gate open. And on the other side of the gate, you know what I saw? All the oyster shells scattered, waiting to be cleaned up. But the poor came from one dirty helping place. So the illusion that you build up of the pearly gates of heaven. There's more work on the other side. There's more work on the other side of the gate. Then I said I want to go to hell because what the heck? And there it was, burning gates, you can't even get through. So I said, well, I'm going to use a fireproof suit. So I hold on to my clothes and I hurt my head. And I rushed through the gates. And you know what I saw on the other side of the gates of hell? All the wood cut up stack waiting to be put on the fire. I said, well, if that's the work I got to do in hell, what the hell, who needs hell? But then I didn't see God. I felt my breath coming up my nostrils. On the right side I can feel love. On the left side I feel anguish. So, uh-oh, I catch on now. I myself am heaven and hell. Omar Khayyam, and there was Omar's face right there. I said, whoa, you sure knew it. Well, he wasn't dead. Omar Khayyam is as alive as you are. And he's laughing like hell. Told you already, it's just written in my book, Man is His Own Heaven and Hell. He said, well, you, how many people will understand that? I said, I guess not too many. Then Brother Jesus, all of them looked at me, but you know, the funny thing, they love you, not one of them will help you. Because all of them is telling you with their eyes, breathe. Breathe. They can't breathe for you. But they can love you, they can glorify you, flood you with light, open your consciousness to see the dualities and the frustrations and the various illusions you built up of this heaven and hell. Only to find out what you yourself is heaven and hell. And if you breathe, you'll hang around indefinitely. And if you don't breathe, your friends will bury you and just start all over again. But there's always a body waiting for you to reincarnate in. It's pointing where you're supposed to go. You know, like you've got your tag. So I said, I love this body, I'm familiar with it, I'll take it to my own heck and I'll work with it. So, I don't promise you any beautiful heaven with flowers and glorious pearly gates. It's a figment of your imagination. Nor is there a hell to worry about. Simply because, why would God and devil sit down to get to their people? But, I do tell you this, if it's any consolation to you, you have the glorious opportunity to establish your divinity within your cellular structure, here and now, with your understanding. Accept the atomic reality of this. Because this is what they call the temple of God already. There ain't no other one. He done made it and became it, and he wants to reside in it as breath, free from illusion. And the journey of enlightenment is very simple. It's no magical thing. It just happens to be there that you got to relive. You have to relive consciously the journey of the sperm bonding with the ovum. And it doesn't have a single thing to do with mind. It's the heart, love. So, falling asleep is no asset. Learning to love will let the body correct itself, nurture itself, and regenerate itself without sleep. Because love is all there is that sustains it. It's called magnetism in modern language. No magnetism? Attraction and repulsion is called love. Like repel and unlike attract. The scope of the horror is your cross. There is no other cross to pick up. And there's only one yoga posture in this world. I'll demonstrate it. Very simple. It's called standing on your own 2 feet and carrying your breath. Anything else here about this? What's difficult to accept because why? You're looking for something there to hang on to the roof all day. And brother Jesus, come on, quit this. Accept yourself. Your horoscope is your cross. And there is no lousy horoscope. Every horoscope is 50-50. 50% is misapplied decision and 50% well applied decision. So it's break even. Right, sister? Does it tell you when you die and when you're born? But it's there for you to live out by understanding it and being free with it. That's why they call it your cross, your horoscope, the scope of the horror. Now, if you didn't have that one to work with, you wouldn't be sitting down here in the body. So everybody has their own blueprint given to them, or script to live out. And it isn't bad, it's terrific.
When you were talking about Ananda Swami picking it out with his teacher all those years, you said that he had checked it out because of his love for his teacher. And just now you see the definition of love being attracted. Are you saying that it would be attraction from the teacher to the person who became Ananda Swami? Going.
Till he experienced the what?
Until he experienced the presence
of I himself. But that was brought on by what?
The repulsion.
He threw him out. He said, get the hell out of here. He needed that lesson to round out the love and not to make himself a wimp, thinking he's going to love and get help by doing what? Clamoring to the teacher for it. The teacher didn't want that.
He did stick it out, though, through attraction and repulsion.
But that's the science, friend.
But then where does the attraction originate?
The attraction is that he went to be initiated as a boy at 14 years of age, practiced his meditational technique, got no results. At the age of 65, he went to go see the teacher, and then he was thrown out by the teacher. He felt the repulsion, but then the sense of respect. But at the same time, he had to live all two aspects, repulsion, attraction, to phase out individuality within, to see the reality within. And then he saw the reality within himself. He could get up and walk with it.
Well, my point is that what we think of love is good.
There are two types of love. Conditional love, where you think you own and want to own, where you think you have to be attached, that's conditional love. Unconditional love don't own a single thing and isn't in any way hurt by any repulsion. It's unconditional love. You understand that one? I give you unconditional love. By any repulsion, it's unconditional love. You understand that one? I give you unconditional love.
Well, that's what my point is that because you give unconditional love, that is the attraction for us to mirror or develop love, you know, towards you to stick it out to keep something going.
That's why they call it independence, not codependence. It allows you to be lord of yourself, stand on your own two feet and do your thing. Free men are lord of yourself. If it wasn't true, it wouldn't be said. And if it wasn't to be lived, you wouldn't have it available to you.
Out,
yes.
His love was still
correct.
So that then he was forced to develop.
Correct. And that's why we can only experience something that aggravates us in order to free us. Now in Buddhism, this is what they tell you. If you're a monk studying to be a Buddhist monk, and let's say tonight you're meditating with deep intensity and Buddha appears in your head, and you walk over next morning and tell the shogun or they had the monk master. Last night Buddha appeared to me in all his glory. You know what that monk will tell you? I am glad, I'm happy for you, but you can't stay here no more. Your time has come for you to leave. You're enlightened. You leave tomorrow morning. But if you see Buddha the next time, kill him. Now you imagine a teacher telling you that? Why is he telling him that statement before you walk out of the temple? Thou shalt have no other gods or graven image before me. Not Buddha or Jesus or anybody. Who is me? No. Moving electrons have become you. That is God has become you. Brother Jesus don't want you to worship him. He wants you to respect him as one who helps you to respect yourself, to identify with the God inside of you. And he'll tell you plain to your face, I love you. But if you're still hanging on with the illusion that you gotta wash it, that's your illusion. But if you accept, and this is what he's gonna throw in your head, he that doeth the will of the Lord or my Father is my brother and my sister. He didn't say he that follow me, you know. But if you follow me, you're gonna follow him too long before you throw it back in your face. The student is not above the master, and the master is not above the student. It's enough that they be friends. So come on, quit your nonsense and get on with the ball of living your life. So therefore, when we say these masters know what they're doing, we may not understand until we have to face it. Then we understand what the love is all about. The first time, they're giving you a love for you to accept God in you as you. In other words, they're bringing out the best of you inside of you, carrying you beyond your individuality to your totality, so that you can see and experience your total divinity. None of these masters want you to worship them. That would be erroneous. It would be idolatry. But they want you to accept God in you. That's what they'll tell you. None come unto the Father but by me. Meaning, you can't realize it unless you got some inspiration to trigger it inside of you to accept yourself. You'd be deluding yourself. But if you do recognize it and you do understand it, then you're free. There's nothing to be afraid of or worry about. And you can't even be left out if you try. Statement, if you were told in your highest level of agony, the things I do, you do also, and greater things shall you do, and the person is standing to who you have tremendous love and reverence for is telling it through their eyes, they don't talk with their mouth, what would you do? They're dying. That's the biggest agony you can have with your frame. Your breath is leaving you. And the eyes of this wonderful being is saying to you, the things I do, you can do also, and greater things shall you do. You don't believe it? Or are you going to feel incompetent? Interesting, huh? But they're offering you the greatest opportunity to heal yourself right then. But you won't take it because you want to feel incompetent. That's the whole essence of the thing. If, because you're told at that moment in time by that being, would you grasp the opportunity?
Probably
compared to anything better. Good. Then Brother Sinatra would say, I did it my way.
Oh yes, well, that's him.
So? They threw the ball and I grabbed it and I ran. I did it my way. And that's exactly what it's all about. Each person has to do it his own way. Nobody can do it for you, but you got to do it. So they offer you the opportunity by telling you, the things I do, you can do also. And greater things shall you do. Now, you're dying. And with such a statement, free yourself from death. Not impossible. It's that moment you have, that moment that you're made to be aware what is locked up in you as a great potential of you. Then if you exercise that opportunity, it's done unto you. And why should it not be done unto you? Could you be any less than Jesus? Or could you be any more than Jesus? Well, you can't be any more either. That doesn't say you make him more. What you have to perform, when you have to perform it, is different than he has to perform, what he has to perform. The timing may differ. You may have to perform the healing in an aeroplane. He's performing in a wagon or some well. So don't go. Well, the healing is still the healing. Wherever you, so it's not, that's not the point. The point is... You see, I had that experience too, you know. I had to perform the healing in an aeroplane. So the point is not better or worse. It is where you have to perform the act may differ in the time frame. But nevertheless, you still got to do the work. You see, I'm on board the plane and they're shouting, is there a doctor on board? Oh my gosh. I look around, nobody gets up. Is there a doctor on board? Please help. I looked around, the third time I got a physical test, I can feel. This guy just had a heart attack. And I look at the guy, and I see why you'd have a heart attack. The lunch the server would give you a heart attack. Yeah. I said, you eat the lunch, do you? Then I had to work on them. kept him alive till we got to Houston. Then they brought the ambulance. He was going to Dr. Dabeti for heart surgery. But he made it. But that's what I'm talking about. The situations you may find yourself in, if you accept what you are, that's all you got to do. Because you ain't healing the guy. I won't be healing the guy. I only asked him, you have the lunch? He said, yeah. I said, okay. I'll hold your hand a little bit to keep you company.
Well, what's our discussion about Superman?
Well, think of the wonderful things that Superman does. You know, you can't kill Superman, number one, right? It's written in some science fiction, but you can't kill him, right? A piece of kryptonite put him, make him what? Incompetent to do anything. And make him, lose his pip. Outside of that, he can lift up the Tower of London and do all kind of crazy things. Fly through the sky and go all over the place.
Yeah, but you said there were 24 more.
I said 21.
21 more.
Three of them have been given. And in that 21, you'll find Superman is doing some of the things out of the 21. So if you want to look at as a guideline where you're going and what is locked up in you, Superman and his behavior is some of the qualities locked up in you. You have 24 powers locked up in you. You don't know it, so you go through it. Now, you ever heard the story of We Are Three, Thou Art Three? Okay. This is an island not too far off India. And there was three monks living on the island. And some Catholic bishop heard of them and wanted to go convert them to Christianity. So he drove in his boat all the way to the island. And when he got there, he saw these three guys and he started teaching them all the interesting things about Christianity. And the prayers you were supposed to say. Well, he's glad they could all learn it good. Then he got in the boat and he left, going back to where he came from. Halfway across the river, he turns around and you see these three guys holding their hands, walking to the water, running after him. Says, please, Father, tell us you forgot the prayers. We forgot the prayers. And he's looking at them. He said, don't use mine. Forget it. Go back, use your own prayers. They're walking on top of the water, you know. So their prayer was simple. We are three, thou art three. Have mercy on us. That was their prayer. We are three, thou art three. Have mercy. Meaning the polarity or the principle of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We are three, thou art three. Have mercy. And that was their prayer. And they were performing miracles. Let alone walking in the water. So the priest went back. So let me go back to you one thing. So it's not what you say, it's what goes on in the heart. Now these three men might have lived through their own internal journey of the sperm and the ovum. And you'll find out if you track down all these people who have ever achieved any realization, you always go right back to that instant of time inside of yourself. Good night.
the number 12, and 24, and 144 that keep coming up in the things we talk about.
Nature uses certain numbers. There are 144 elements that make up our universe. And that same 144 is set up in a polarity within the pineal gland to have 1,000 frequencies. So it's called the 144,000, which is 72,000 nerves in polarity in your body. So you know how much nerves you got in polarity in your body, so that will be 144,000. And if they're turned upwards, that means if I be lifted up, to draw all men unto me, all these frequencies will pull you right through, and the 24 qualities will manifest in your mechanism. You have 7 chakras. 6 are from here down. They are in a polarity state. So 6 times 3 is 18. And the other one on the top of the skull is like a double triangle, which makes 6 points. 18 and 6 is 24. And so you are set up to be a principle of nature operating within the elements. And if you multiply or divide 144 by 12, you get 12 times 12, 12 is 144. So they are the 12 signs of the zodiac, and they're the 12 organs in the clock of your body, and they're the 12 qualities of your nature. Man is a living expression of the creative intelligence, all locked up inside of it. But he has to uncover it. And in the ancient days, they wrote it down in agricultural language and left it in agricultural language for modern man to come along to solve it and put it together for the first time in technical language.